Compliance. Oh.
Yes, it was shared with the county clerk, posted on the website at the CSB building, and sent to the radio and newspaper.
We need a motion for approval of the agenda. Okay, those all in favor, motion was made and second to approve the agenda. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Who will I need approval of minutes of September 20th? If everybody agrees.
I have a comment.
Yep.
It isn't noted that we elected Mark vice chair.
Oh.
At the last, well, at least unless I
swear it was in there.
It was on the agenda right after public comment communication. I have it on my notes, but.
Okay.
I swear it was in there.
I thought it was too, but.
Can you guys hear okay on Zoom?
Yes, I can.
Okay, just want to make sure we've got.
Yes, I have that on. Yep. Okay, I will add that.
Okay, and then the item.
Thank you for catching that. I swear we had it in there.
And then the item I had is Scott's under others present, Courtney Brookhart and Tanya White. And I distinctly remember Tanya wasn't here.
I think she must have been on
Zoom. She was on Zoom.
Okay. Bob can verify this. When we went to Zoom at the county board, it should be noted in the minutes if your attendance
is
in
by
person,
Zoom.
In person or by Zoom.
So you should also identify Pat as
at Zoom. Okay.
I'm here.
Thank you.
Yeah. I understand that. It's just a county rule when we allowed Zoom to be used that they needed to be identified if they were in person or via Zoom.
Okay.
So it's minor, but
yep.
Mark.
Yep. Thank you.
Yes.
Those changes. And I have approval of minutes and a second.
I'll second it.
All those in favor of approval minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Is that Pat that seconded?
Yes.
Yes.
Public comment, communication.
Okay. Just a few things. Not a fair stuff or my water stuff. Not much has happened, I think, with resources because. With funding. However, there was talk still of an 8% funding cut, which could lead to like 60,000 seniors not being able to receive nutrition services. So that's kind of where we're standing with the continuing resolution and everything. Nothing has really been done in terms of OAA funding, but we're certainly not seeing anything that. Giving us more. so that's where we're at with that advocacy piece. I had shared that before. So continue. As I told you last month, we had spoke with Molly from Van Orden's representative Van Orden's office. Shared some of that. And then she did follow back up with us as well. Did she go out and do some meals?
She's going out today.
Oh, okay.
In Lancaster, going out on a delivery route.
So she wanted to get a feel for it. So we're going to do that. So that will be good. So just to keep that in mind that, you know, we are concerned about that nutrition program funding because it's not going away and it's getting more and more expensive. And with the projected number of seniors, you know, 15 years down the road here, it's going to get worse and worse. Okay.
Advocacy reports and activities or activities.
Yep. So Elder Fest, again, coming up fast and furious. That's all we're kind of thinking about. I've got a schedule here I will share with you guys for some where we need you to volunteer. And then some of you said you'll be there all day. So I would encourage you to go around and, you know, look at the vendors and see the setup and things like that. And even to, talk to some attendees. We've also got Naga Knowledge at 11. And that's going to be in the X-Time building. That is going to be presented by our dementia care specialists, Bonnie and Haley. And we haven't done a presentation in conjunction with Elderfest in a long time because we kind of grew out of the building. We used to do it in the south room, and then it just, the acoustics weren't very good with all the other stuff going on in the auditorium part. So we stopped doing it. So we're going to try this because they have some really good presentations, but it's just kind of difficult to get people in the county this large to one spot. So we thought maybe if we put it in conjunction with Elderfest that we might get a few people to attend. She's had a pretty good crew coming to boost your brain and memory, though.
Yeah.
And that's a 7-8 week?
I think it's 8 week.
Class. And they have, she's had a pretty good crew coming to that. So that's good. But the Naga Knowledge is a brain health presentation as well. Regional board report, unless you guys have anything, I didn't see much on that. I did print it out, the agenda. It looks like they just went over second quarter call reports and updated on the ADRC funding, which I don't believe we're getting the additional funding yet. And I don't know that for a fact. There was some talk whether we were going to get, there was additional funding appropriated for 24 and 25, but it sounded like at some point, like they wouldn't get it together till 25 to give it to us. And then how that plays out, I don't know. It will be interesting. So I'm hoping that we'll see a sizable increase. I don't think it's going to be great, but I'm hoping it would be enough to add a little more staff, but I don't know how that's going to play out. I doubt it will, but I'm trying to be hopeful. Anything else on regional board? Diane, did you have anything to, is she on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Diane, did you have anything to add on regional board?
She talked again mainly about funding and how some of the other regions are breaking down and going separately, you know. Our region is still pretty strong as a region, but other regions have broken up, and that will have some impact, I guess, on funding. And again, they're kind of like Lori was saying, they're kind of, they don't know exactly. But anyway, that was what most of the meeting was about.
Yeah, several of the regional, and there was a regional incentive at the time, but several of the regions have broken up. For various reasons. I think probably mostly some counties felt like they were getting the, like taking all the calls. And I think it's because we have had a pretty good relationship with Lafayette, Iowa, and Green. We have always sort of been of the mind that if we can help one another out, we will. And that's been helpful over the years when we've been without a DBS or an EBS or vice versa, they have been. You know, we've been able to share a little staff. And right now we still have the disability benefits specialists from Lafayette County still picks up our cases in Grant County because we have such a high caseload for disability. And meeting with her attorney, she's still, you know, Kristen's cases have run as high as 100. 80 is considered high, and we've been up to 100 in the past. We're trying to keep that low, and that's with Lafayette taking some on. But Lafayette has had less, and they prefer to be busy, so they have taken up some of ours. So it works out, and it's nice that they're willing to do it. So for me, that incentive, the regional incentive, the region is a nice. I think it works well, but I don't think it'll last. So I don't even know if it'll make it before I retire. I think we'll probably be broke up. It is what it is, I guess. It'll be. But again, that's going to put more pressure on than who's ever here, because Mary does a lot of the state work that's required. And there's busy work in that too, with reports and things that will be back on directors then. So that will put a lot more pressure on the local directors again. So we'll see how it plays out. Eat Smart, Move More, Weigh Less. We've got four signed up. We've got one slot open yet, and that still can be filled. I am advertising that on Facebook, and we had it in the news and views. So I'm hoping that slot will get filled. However, I'm not too worried because there's another round coming in January, and Angela had told me generally there's not a lot of carryover, but we purchased the slot. You have to purchase the slots, not knowing. So, and I only purchased five. So we'll see how that plays out and see what it looks like. So that comes out of our, on here it says public awareness. It's our prevention. It's our health promotion monies that we get from GWAR. So that we're required to do. We have no staff time for it. So which is why we're doing the online. And then we've got a caregiver renewal event coming up. This is a shared event that we do with Iowa and Lafayette counties for caregivers. November is Family Caregivers Month. So we usually do, we call it a renewal event. We bring caregivers together that we're working with, usually provide them with presentations, some education. In the past, we've done like a craft activity as just kind of a stress release thing. And then they either have breakfast or lunch and different things. It's a really nice day, and we provide respite for them if they need it. And it's just a nice day for family caregivers to kind of get together and talk. You know, they get to know one another there at different things and kind of share that, share their stress a little bit and have a little lighter day for them on their plate. It's just really nice. So that is going to be in Dodgeville this year. So, and we've got, they're doing, it's a speaker who wrote a book on humor and caregiving. It should be good. Bonnie's kind of taking the lead on that, our dementia care specialist. So that's all we have there. So we could.
Okay, prioritization, wait list policy.
So we've been kind of bringing this up at every meeting, and I'm going to pull the trigger on it. We have had much discussion in Platteville, of course, because that is our biggest area. And I apologize, we did not send this policy out last week with the agenda because GWAR actually had a webinar on wages and prioritization on Thursday when this needed to be out. Yes, we will get it to them. Yes. And this the waiting list policy is very generic. Mostly what I'm looking to do is Courtney and I need some discretion in being able to kind of put a halt to meals when we know we can't, when we're past capacity. And I think we've been past capacity in Platteville for some time. We are averaging 79 meals the last 12 months a day. And you said the average amount of the 12 of those is about the average 12 of the 79, or about 15% is family care meals. So there's kind of two things at play here. The family care meals are the MCOs who provide, you know, through Inclusa, My Choice, they provide meals and they contract with us. Now they do contract for the full cost of the meal, what we determine that to be by our meal cost tool, which I think is never true because that's always based on the past year. But they do contract with us for that. So GWAR did a webinar on prioritization. They are doing a pilot project on prioritization. Prioritization is a little bit different than waitlist. So I'm looking at starting a waitlist, but I think we will participate in the prioritization. Do you want to explain the prioritization a little bit?
Yes, with the prioritization, so when you do the home delivered assessment, it's depending on what those answers are, you're going to get like a score, a weighted score, and then you can kind of see maybe where their needs are a little bit more, whether they're low income, they live alone, they can't drive, you know, they can't go out and get their own groceries, whether, you know, they're just mobility wise. So they'll have, you know, a higher nutrition risk or a higher score. So they'll be prioritized before maybe some others that can still get out sometimes to get groceries or has family that gets their groceries for them, you know, for for other people who don't have supports like that. They're looking at doing a pilot for this prioritization in November, December, and then actually starting it. They want everyone in the state to kind of have it in place for when they need it. So not everyone's going to do it right away, but everyone's going to have the same schedule and the same weights kind of to move forward.
And the difference is she has to do this assessment regardless. So there's an assessment done regardless. What this does is sort of, it elevates the assessment a little bit more. It takes into more factors. Because right now, essentially, if somebody is eligible under our guidelines, they don't have to be essentially homebound. That always has been, right. That's always been something we've said. That's always been something we've told. And then during the pandemic, we're like, well, actually, we found out that's not true. And I'm like, well, actually, that doesn't help us. So the prioritization just sort of notches it up, but also I think puts more weight on people's real nutritional risk, more so than the assessment just basically clarifies eligibility. Prioritization prioritizes the risk involved so that we do make sure that those who are really at risk for malnutrition, which is part of the goal, are served first or are eligible to be served. So hopefully that would back off a little bit of.
Courtney, you do the home inspections, right?
I do the home delivered assessments. I have not gotten out in person yet.
Yeah. That's the other thing.
That's going to be huge, but to transition to this process is going to require a lot of communication.
Yes.
Correct.
Because I think, at least from the people I talk to in Plano, they automatically assume they can get this when they hit 60.
Yes.
And they want to have a meal delivered to them home.
Yeah.
I don't think that message as far as the you have to qualify.
Mm-hmm. And you certainly let them know that when they call that there are qualification factors. For congregate, there isn't. I mean, if they are 60 at congregate, they can go.
They can go.
But maybe so, that will help sway the congregate if they're, I'm going to pick on the, and I don't even know the people, but the one, there's a significant number every day that go to Bears Court. Mm-hmm. Are those people able to get in a car together and drive to a congregate site? I'm betting they probably are.
Yeah, it could be.
Well, it gets a little trickier in that by the assessment. So I can't tell somebody that they have to get into a car with someone else if I think, you know.
No, I'm just saying they may want to transition.
Yes.
The realization is that they want to have lunch with their little group, they're going to have to get in their car or whatever and go there.
This gets trickier with family care because when family care purchases meals, some people know that their neighbor is getting meals and they're not necessarily homebound. Well, they're not necessarily homebound. It's that family care is purchasing those meals at full price. We can't divulge that information to people. We can't tell people that. So that gets a little bit trickier too. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things I didn't like on the webinar when they talked about this prioritization and the waitlist policy, it was kind of combined, was the fact that you could determine if people could private pay, which basically means pay full cost or whatever, if you would give them a meal. And I'm like, the problem is not the pay so much. It is. I mean, I have to watch the funding, and the funding is huge for the nutrition program. It's our biggest expense. But that's not as much as where my concern lies as it is the volunteer coordination and getting these meals out to people. That's where the problem with the wait list falls into. Platteville is a huge, for us, it's a huge area to cover with just a few volunteers. Mm-hmm. We can cover, we probably do 25 to 30. I don't know what Boscobel's is, but.
What about around 25?
But I can do a 22 to 25 minute route in Boscobel in a lot less time than I could do in Platteville. I could, you know, and Platteville's going to be, and same even with Lancaster. Lancaster's just a little bit more spread out. So it's just that bigger, you know, we just have to decide at some point if we don't have the number of volunteers on any given day. Consistently, obviously, here and there here isn't there. That big of a deal. But we've really got to look at what is capacity. And I would say we're about 20 people over capacity in Platteville right now. And I didn't give her my number. I just asked her the other day. I had my number when I thought we were over. And I asked her the other day, and she said, I think we should be at 60. So we were exactly in the same thoughts on that, that what was manageable. Because she and I both know if all of our Platteville people go down with COVID or something else that's going to take them out, we won't be delivering meals because we don't have the capacity to pick that up. We do somewhat a day or here there in Bosqueville or Lancaster, but in Platteville, that would be very challenging. So I think we need to do something. One of the things that we wanted to do was send out a letter to people on home delivered meals now and let them know that we are going to be instituting a waitlist policy, most likely, give them the criteria for eligibility for homebound, and ask them if they are no longer meeting this eligibility to let us know, and we will make other arrangements or let them know about, you know, where to get a congregate meal or takeout and things like that. Because I am hoping, not looking to, you know, shame people, but there are good people that don't realize, like you said, they just think it's automatic. And if they read that and think, oh gosh, I don't want somebody who really needs a meal not to get one when I really could go pick my lunch or whatever.
Exactly.
I'm hoping we'll get a few people that will say, I'm good now. Because some people do get on it temporarily, you know, and Courtney's good about following back up, but then, you know, they might get on temporarily. And
I think that letter is
very, very. It gives people the chance to back off of it on their own. And then this would be moving forward with people to let them know that, you know, we would let them know of the other resources that's available to them. But I mean,
I just had one last week where they're in Platteville and they're not eligible for home delivered. And they asked about other meal sites because we don't have one in Platteville. And they were willing to go to Cuba City. It's really not that far for them. They can go. So they were going to try that. And I said, you don't have to go every day. You can decide to go for spaghetti or meatloaf or whatever day, you know, when you want to go out. So there are people that are very understanding about it too.
There's a lot of people that get meals that really don't want to take away from somebody else who really needs one.
And it's my opinion, I think something that has been ingrained since COVID is just they're not jumping back out of that.
And they're definitely, that's clear to the state. That's clear to everybody in the state. It's just not. And as I said before, counties are kind of pumping up their nutrition congregate numbers by offering a food truck here and there once a month. And they bill that as a socialization experience. And I get that, and it's fine. I just think it's a way to build up your numbers, but make it look better. But
a little tricky in winter.
It also
put a picnic table outside.
It also doesn't meet the need. The people that are going to come to something like that are not the people that are home that really need a meal.
Right.
And the reality is when we do these surveys, we still have like 1 in 4 to 1 in 5 that say if they didn't get a meal, they'd go hungry. So that stays with me all the time. So I don't want to do that. But the other thing with the family care meals I wanted to point out with this waitlist policy too, is I think we've come to a point where we've either got to decide how many family care meals we're going to provide in an area, what's reasonable, because I don't know that 15% of the meals being delivered to family care, even though they're paying supposedly cost, volunteer time is not included in that full cost. You know, what do we do there? Because I'm not saying people in family care don't need a meal too. They do. That's part of it. However, they would also have the support through their care managers to get somebody either, if they truly need that kind of food, then that care manager should be working with them to make sure they have that food by bringing someone in or doing something. It's a catch 22. I know some programs have stopped the contracts with family care. I'm not really saying that, but I am saying that maybe we limit it to 10% of the meals, because it's still a strain. It's a strain on our meal site managers who have to package up those additional meals. It's a strain on our volunteers who have to deliver, who the only place it's not a strain on is the agencies that contracted with us, because it's their easiest way to get meals to their participants with no lift on their part really at all, other than the authorizations. So it's a light lift for them, but it's not for us.
So this letter would be sent to Paul.
All home delivery. Yeah. And I think we would send it out to
Platteville right now.
Well, or you think everyone? I have been thinking really.
Okay.
No. That's my question.
And originally we had thought Platteville, but I had been thinking about this the last couple of days. And I do think the letter can still go out because the policy is going to exist.
Right.
Whether we implement the policy in other areas is dependent, you know, on whether we need to. But the letter going out saying there's a waitlist policy isn't going to hurt anything if people make arrangements to go to their congregate sites instead.
Well, will it also drive other opportunities?
Maybe. That's, you know.
So it's just more crucial than ever, especially for Platteville, that we find a congregate site.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is some talk, there were some programs that have worked out a deal with.
There's plenty of buildings.
I'm going to do some more searching.
And that's the other thing. Our lease is up in April. So if we, you know, if we truly want, we have no budget other than I budgeted $400 a month for. Which doesn't get you very far when you're renting a whole building, but.
Now the deals are put together there at the old armory.
Yeah.
And of course, I don't know how much room you've got there, but it's impossible to have a congregate site there.
Yeah, they're renting out the gym. There really isn't any space because they had already, the one office is downstairs is. It is an accessibility issue. Well, you can come in one way, but
they've got a ramp there to the west. I understand.
You're saying as well.
Yeah. But no, we have literally just rented the kitchen.
Okay, and
we
I know where
have the rest sure. of it because they were renting out the gym for all sorts of other things. So
volleyball, basketball camps, they did everything all summer.
Two things we have talked about doing that I think we might move ahead. It's not going to solve entirely our programs, but we have talked about doing a voucher program, say with a salad bar program. So one of the places that offers a salad bar or soup and salad bar, we could possibly do something with that. Now that's not going to solve 5 days a week for people for congregate, but there are a segment of people that might go out a couple of days a week for that soup and salad bar. But, you know, if you look at the restaurant situation and the accessibility of the restaurants there, it's not a good place for us to locate that. Probably the most accessible would be the hospital, but it's an awful long walk in from the parking lot. So I'm going to hit up a few people at Elderfest, some of the assisted living places that will be at Elderfest, and talk to them again. I've had some conversations with a few of them already. I'm wondering if somewhere over by Bears Court, since we do serve a fair amount of people over there, if we can find, if they've got some space that they could dedicate to us, even if it wasn't 5 days a week,
right?
If we can even do 3 days a week or a couple of days a week, that would be better. So I am going to hit them up personally there because, like I said, we've had some of those conversations. So.
And none of the churches are interested at all.
We had a couple inquiries, none from churches.
I don't think any from churches.
No, we had a couple inquiries come back when we put all that out there. I mean, we contacted them,
sure.
Sent stuff out. So no, not at this point, but in my experience, because I've been looking for sites for, gosh, however long I've been doing all of this, because back in the day I was looking for classroom sites in the same places I'm looking for nutrition sites, and we're both Head Start and the nutrition site are both in Platteville in the same building, so I've been looking for sites for a long time. Churches are not always the best place, just because now maybe it's different now than it was 20 years ago, but there's always funerals. There's always something going on, and you're always getting bumped, and you're always getting bumped out of that kitchen. And then that doesn't make it work real well either. So, but a community room, like in a residential senior housing, would be more ideal. We have that in Fenimore, and the residents right there, who mostly would probably be all home delivered meals, can actually walk down, and then we can count it as a congregate. So, so if we could find something like that, so I'm going to hit up those people on next week and
have
see.
Have you ever had a discussion with Monson Bank or Wisconsin Bank?
We sent it to them. We sent out, but
about a conversation with them.
Yeah, that might
because
be a good one too. Because they are
community
pretty...
rooms are very accessible. They have kitchens.
Yes.
Wisconsin Bank probably would have a little more storage area, I'm guessing. But I think the message needs to be maybe not necessarily from you guys, but from people here, that we may not have a site. May not have where we need to find something.
Yeah, that's the reality. And
so,
I do agree, Kathy, it does need to come from Platteville, because I feel like we're doing our part here. We're providing, you know, out of the entire county, just about a third of what we do is going to Platteville.
And
so help us out, Platteville, a little bit. I mean, I really do kind of feel that we need to generate that. So
when you mentioned Bears Court, I do know there's a lot of residents there. For a fact, and they do have those community rooms both on the first floor and the second floor that if they'd work with you, like you said, even several days a week, you could use that.
Yes.
That would work as a congregate site and also take care of the people.
Yes. Because some of those people, you know, probably would enjoy that. But again, if they can't get out, so. So the prioritization is not something that we need approval on. The waitlist policy would be. The waitlist policy would be something we would want to implement. We aren't going to have a firm, like, we're probably not going to have a firm number in each place, because it's really going to be dependent on Courtney saying, here's our volunteer situation here, here's the number of meals we're doing here, here's what we've got coming in, and we're going to have to sort of be a little bit like, you know, if we don't have the number of volunteers, it just makes a big difference. But the one thing we always have to, I think, be cognizant of in terms of our risk is, if all those volunteers went away or something happened, could we deliver? And that is my biggest concern, because we've done a lot of delivering. So I know what's involved now, and I know how, you know, difficult that can be. And we've had different things come up where we've had to shift very, very quickly. Obviously a pandemic, but we did it with the tornado in Platteville. That was a big shift for us there. And luckily a short-term one. So I just think the wait list will help with that. It will give us more of a basis for doing what we do. The prioritization, I think, will actually hold more weight and tell people. And I think then, and if we participate in it, then we'll probably do some articles on it. And to me, it's easier for Courtney, because when you've got somebody on the phone and you can explain to somebody that, okay, this is the process that we actually have to follow now, and it's weighted, and it's a little more scientific, I guess, and say, you know, it's not so subjective. Like, I'm not denying you a meal, or I'm not saying this, but so I think the thought is that you were gonna we'll probably do the pilot.
Yes, I reached out to Pam at GLAR and told her I was interested, and she is supposed to be sending me some information on how that pilot's going to work.
All right. But the waitlist policy, if you're okay with that, I would need approval on that.
Okay. Need a motion on that then, approve that. Second.
I'll move.
Second.
Motion made and second to approve the waitlist policy. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay. Number eight, ARPA NFCSP grant.
So that is our National Family Caregiver Support Program grant. ARFA is the American Rescue, whatever that name is, I can't even think now. It's coming out of COVID money. So we still have $21,378 that we got in ARPA money for our caregiver. Right now, I still have $18,000 left in a caregiver grant with regular Title III money for caregivers. The caregiver, the National Caregiver Program, that's about our typical allocation. It runs around there, but it's got a match to it. So the match on, so when they divvied out the money for ARPA, they really didn't, they just gave it to us with no, there wasn't any opportunity to decline it at the time. And so we took it, but I was leery when we got it that we were going to be able to do it. So that's kind of our current one too. So the match on this is actually 7,126. It's a 25% match, but it's actually, that match is included. So it comes out to, I don't know, 28, 29, and then it's a quarter of that. So it's actually more of a, it's more like a third than really a 25%. So right now we have a fair amount of money left in our family caregiver Title III funding because, partly because it's such a high match. In comparison, it's like a 10% match on our nutrition. Of course, we go way over that because, you know, more funding. So our biggest problem, though, is we just don't have the direct care workers. So the majority of our caregiver funds go for respite. To provide respite to caregivers. We do have the ability to provide some assistive devices, like maybe a shower chair or grab bars or things like that, or supplemental. Sometimes we've had to get people insured, things like that. But the majority of the money is usually in respite funds. Our biggest problem right now in Grant County is we don't have respite providers. Home Care Select went out of business, yes, recently. Homeward Bound is struggling to, you know, they don't have a lot of direct care workers. Direct care worker shortage is very, very real in Grant County. So we do have a few agencies, but getting for Nicole to find a respite care worker, it's just really hard to do. During the pandemic, and we still got it in place, we have allowed people to reimburse family caregivers, and I may be back on this too, at no more than $12. So they could reimburse like a friend or family member. They're actually contracting, we're not, because we can't really do that. So they pay it out, we reimburse them. But we kept that low. So we don't have as many of that either. So we find it difficult to spend the funds, is I guess what I'm saying. This money, this 21,000, goes through the end of 24. And then, so it, yeah, 24, September of 24, sorry. I do not think we'll spend it. I'll kind of keep an eye on it. We've got some ability to look at it and wait. But my feeling is we should probably de-obligate it and send it to counties that can use it. There are some counties, obviously the bigger counties that have more resources out there for direct care that workers can probably use. I just think with the match being so high that mostly we're going to if we spent anything, we're mostly going to get to the match, and it's all going to be, and we're not even going to get into the grant funding, because I have 18,000 in grant funding right now. So mostly what I've spent out right now is the match, and you have to have a match. So it's
can you explain? I mean, I'm not knowing the details, but it sounds like it's very complicated. There's a pot of money.
Yeah.
Rather than give it back or relinquish it, we only have respite care workers, but we have family members that are taking care. Isn't there an easier
you would think
line where they could reimburse family for mileage or stuff for taking care of a family member? Because if they weren't doing it,
yeah,
and there's no caregivers, what happens to those people?
What has happened since the pandemic, and Nicole, I can maybe have Nicole even come back in next month, and so Nicole's working with these caregivers, but another factor from the pandemic is people are not, well, first of all, they find it difficult to locate. She finds it very difficult to locate respite care providers, but people also are not finding that family member to reimburse as much as well. They contract, they come in and they, you know, we tell them about what they can spend, but then she does case management with them, you know, month after month, and finds that they're not what they thought they wanted, they're not necessarily spending. So it gets a little tricky, because now you've put them on the program with a kind of an amount that they can spend. You can't really, you've obligated that money a little bit, and then they're not spending it as month after month. And so she's, you know, she's having those conversations too, that if you're not going to spend it, then, you know, we'll try to shift it, but it does make it a little bit more difficult. And the respite that we are getting, it's coming in at what? I think the last one is like $30 an hour now. I mean, mm-hmm. it's crazy prices mm-hmm. out there. It used to be 16.
I was gonna say 18, yeah.
And then it went up to 18. Now we're up to 30. So we've still got NFCSP money for people. We'll have it for 23. We'll have that same amount for 24. This is in addition. I don't think we'll get this spent. And my issue with that is I don't want somebody else to go without it, because I didn't get out of there fast enough or whatever. Because it is for our money, it can go to someone else within the state. So it's nothing that you necessarily have to make a decision on today. We can wait and see what we spend out in NFCSP at the end of the year. But I just know it's more and more difficult. Now, the other thing maybe is that we do offer a higher amount to family providers that is a little more attractive. So, and we can discuss that. And hopefully that might help as well. But even with that, I did not write in the 7,000 match into my budget. So I didn't budget for that. So it would be something that you would just have to know if we do keep it for 24, that 7,000 is going to have to be spent.
But this is like any other ARPA funds. It needs to be obligated by December 31st of 24.
Yeah, I think it's actually this one needs to be spent by September.
That's why. When it needs to be allocated and when it needs to be spent.
We have deobligated. I've seen deobligate at the end of the year, like in September, and switch it over. But I would like to actually do it probably by February or March if we're gonna do
it. If you're not budgeting any of the match, I think you should
just deobligate it.
By the end of the year, you should.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
I would probably need a motion to that effect if you want. I don't have necessarily an issue with that. I guess I would.
For those areas, you from what I'm hearing, in those areas, you already have sufficient funding. We just don't have the manpower or whatever to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So that funding is not going to get you somebody out of the sky to do it.
No. And we'll still have the funding again in 20, the regular Title III funding. My biggest concern was if I kept it with that match in there, since I didn't budget the match. I was kind of surprised they didn't offer it up that way, but they just sort of gave it to us without, and you know, all the ARPA money for nutrition, obviously, I took and spent a long time ago because our nutrition budget's very high. We put in a lot of levy, so it offsets that. So that local match I didn't worry about because I knew we were putting in that levy amount anyway. So it didn't, it wasn't like an additional, but this really would be kind of an additional expense to the county if we did it. So if you want, I can come back. You can deobligate it today if you want, and that's fine. Or I can come back at a later meeting and tell you where we're sitting and whether we want to increase that. If you think, I can have Nicole reach out to some other programs who maybe are spending a little more than we are and see if they've increased their amounts.
Why don't we wait another month?
Because yeah, they never even used to allow it. But again, when the pandemic came up, that was one of the things that happened, was they started to allow that. Okay, so we'll keep that on and go from there. And I could maybe even have Nicole come and talk a little bit about this. She's challenged with it. You think you get somebody on and then they're going to be able to spend it. And then, but you know, that's the challenge of caregiving. It sounds good to people. You know, they think, yeah, I could use that. But the reality is that their caregiving is 24/7 and it doesn't always work out that way for them. It's why caregivers are stressed all the time because they deal with that all the time. Okay.
Approval of vouchers?
Anything on here out of the ordinary this time? No, I think so.
I have one question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What is the Lumen phone? First page. Century. Lumen. Is that a person? Is that type of the phone? Or what is the Lumen phone?
That is something that finance charges out to us. That's not one that I get an invoice for.
So is it a multi-department phone?
I've been trying to get information on my telephone bills for
I get it. So no, I noticed this last night, so I wanted to ask, and I'll dig deeper, and you know, I may have the resources now that you say that.
Dig into TDS then too, because that's the bill I don't understand.
Well, yeah, the TDS is. So I will dig with the resources I have.
I bet that is, I think, isn't the Century Link still the internet fax line? Or did we get rid of that? No, I
got
rid of that.
We
too much electronic.
Yeah. TDS used to be our fax.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Where? It's at a BS site?
This? No, this is not. Century Link? I don't know.
I don't know either. So that's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
I will dig into it. That's fine. And the other comment, and I've heard it in other committees as well, and I don't know, it's a new system, and I like this report, but it gets to be a challenge. Like bottom of that page, City of Lancaster, so you're breaking out the water and sewer to all the different programs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some committees don't see a need for that, because it would shorten up this program or this printout if you just had vendor totals. But then I don't know what the description is going to be.
Sure.
So
right. Well, and in some cases, the city of Lancaster, because we don't pay for a meal site at the Lancaster meal site, but we do pay the water. Right.
Well, yeah.
That's
so,
for here. Some of it could be for here.
Oh, yeah, then that's
correct.
The other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
some
that's
of
the
it's
other
there,
thing.
Some of it's here.
There on that front page, then the city of Lancaster where it says LANCMS, that's Lancaster
that's
Meal Site Utilities.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's broken up between congregate and home delivered.
Yeah.
And then the water sewer underneath, that's for our building. That gets broken up into all 8 programs or whatever, however many we have here.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. But yeah, that could just be one.
Yeah, I can see your point if you're looking at it as a board just to see the vendor. I
right.
guess for me, I like it.
No, I understand both sides of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's... Mm-hmm. Because anything nutrition related is usually divided into 2 accounts, congregate or something.
Yeah.
But our auto liability. That's broken up how many times?
Yes, the Fairfield Inn and Suites was that was Medicare Medicaid training for that's mandatory training for
mm-hmm.
I just have a question on page 7, mm-hmm. the third item.
Mm-hmm.
What is that for the other expense?
So that's one of the caregiver programs. That's somebody.
It's one of the daycare or
caregiver getting reimbursed.
Yeah, okay.
That's kind of an issue.
Well, yeah, he's the one getting reimbursed. He's not the client, but yeah.
This is a public need.
Yeah, and sure. So sometimes we need to. Okay.
Yeah, so we'll have to think about that. Is that
that might be a separate just caregivers in general or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
But we're learning the system.
Yes, exactly.
So and yeah, it is exactly. More detailed than we've had before, I think. So.
Other ones when you see on here like the trips mileage, those are volunteer drivers. So mm-hmm. if you see a name with trips mileage, that's a volunteer driver. So any other good question, but yeah, we're kind of learning how to figure out Palominas and mm-hmm. what's going to work with us too. And if you're seeing something and want it different, let us know and we'll work on that. So get us away so it's easier for you. We haven't even quite got us to the point where it's easier for us to look at. I was so engrossed on the old Springbrook reports that it's hard to look at something new and figure it out. So we would need approval of vouchers if you're so inclined.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Second. Motion made and second. Approval of vouchers. All in favor say aye.
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 Financial report.
Revenue trickling in. I think GWAR is usually, for those that are not familiar, our GWAR funds, which is our Title III fund, and that usually is a month or two behind from our claims.
I think we just got July, so yeah, 3 or 4 months behind.
3 or 4 months behind. Haven't even done the 24 budget one yet. And then family care revenues for our mileage and our meals, that's usually a few months behind too.
Questions? I'll entertain a motion to approve the financial report. Accept.
Yeah, that's because I have to manually put those in.
Yeah. August, right? Or September.
Yeah.
Sorry. We still have in August. So it's 75%. So we should be we're holding our own in ADRC. I thought we could be overspent there. And again, nutrition. Between my congregate and my home delivered, but I think we'll be close on that one. All of a sudden, nutrition has been kind of a 2019, but I have no idea what prices are going to run.
Yeah.
All right. We do need a motion to accept or approve the finance report. Or not, I guess. I'll move to approve.
Second.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion made and second to approve the financial report. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Okay, reports.
All right, we are in full Elder Fest mode, so that's what Courtney and I and Uriah live and breathe throughout the month of October.
Front desk and Elder Fest.
Yep, front desk and Elder Fest. And it runs. Because we're still missing our front desk person, so we are we are covering that as well. So 9 to 11:30 on Friday, Sheriff's Department will be doing a drug take back. He's usually had a really good response to that. We're collaborating on a vaccine clinic for flu and COVID. However, I don't know whether the COVID vaccines will even necessarily be available or be available in a lot. Jeff said he was hoping to have them, but he didn't know. But by the way, those are coming out. We've already talked about noggin knowledge. So looking at projections for this year, the budget for 24 is in the process of going through the motions. It's going through here, as you know. We did get a 14.5%. That did come up to a 14.5% increase in health insurance. Anything else you want to add on the budget, or where it's just for their information, where it's at?
As of yesterday, it's fluid, but as of yesterday, it's been. Depends on what we do with wages. We have had a market analysis done on wages, and it kind of came back that we need a 3-tier step increase. Somewhat in my mind goes along with what a lot of these other entities are doing with flat rate. I computed a flat rate back in August based on the average salary or average compensation to an employee in Grant County was 2602. If you apply a flat rate at 7%, if my memory is right, it was $1.82. So now if we apply that as a flat rate, the people at the bottom of the scale, it's going to be a bigger bonus than the people at the top. So the market analysis came back the same way that we need, if we want to be a leader, if we want to meet the market at 50th percentile, we need roughly a 9% cut. If we want to be a leader, if we want to attract more people, if we want to be at 75th percentile of the market, we need to have an 18% at the bottom, a 10% with two wage grades in the middle, in the top of the wage grades at 8%. So 18, 10, 8. And Joyce and Amanda and I have worked diligently on this over the past 2 weeks. I should take that back to the past 4 days.
since last Thursday when we got that market analysis, we were speculating because of, in this very room, Orchard Manor had Whiffley doing somewhat of a business analysis, and they came back saying, well, you see an ACE, lower level, 15.5% increase. Middle class LPNs needed 8.1, and RNs at the top were 8.3. So it really corresponds a lot. Hopefully we're having a meeting at 10:30 to hammer out one small issue with the rest of the information I've learned in the last 20 hours. Probably less than 10 or 12 people out of the whole 450 that we have. Everybody else is doing cartwheels and handstands and is happy as heck. But there's this certain few people, and Mark has lived the dream, that we need to deal with, and we'll deal with it. And so if we split that over 2 years to maintain the promise that choices left on the transition team that we created in 2011. And the last market study that or wage study that was done in 17, we promised to be at market by 25. If we split this up and take a bigger lift right now of basically 14, six, 14, 8, 6.
Yeah, I was trying to tell you those numbers yesterday, and I wasn't
again,
getting
the
price. The
numbers
yeah.
are all confusing,
yeah.
but if we do that in
yeah,
a tiered
that's what I said.
Fashion this year and leave some of it for next year to see the total impact, it's for two reasons. It's to see the total impact because not all positions are fully tax levy dollars. Some of them, a fair amount, are reimbursed.
Yeah.
And so it's not going to affect the levy. So, and the other part of it is that I was at a WCA breakout session about debt load. Under the current budget, even with the increase in insurance that we originally budgeted 9, we're up to 14.5 now. We were looking at our mill rate going from 354 down to under $3. And this breakout session said you want to keep your mill rate constant. So a lot of organizations, schools mostly, I think, but some communities are using short-term debt. I know another county that they borrow the money first to the 15th of November and pay it off in February. There's taxes back in. It's outside the levy limit. It allows you to levy for that debt, that short-term debt. So we would have to ship capital projects to debt for that short term and use other operational funding to make this lift. But 99% of the people in the room, I think, were appreciative, and one person tried to throw a ringer into it yesterday.
I think 99% of the people in the room were somewhat surprised. And appreciative.
And appreciative.
I think
no,
I think they really
were
surprised
that
it was receptive.
And this is you know, I liken it to what happened at the state level this year with shared revenue, and you know that's a generation, that's something that's never happened, and as one department said, you know, it's just totally surprising that we're even considering jumping 14%. But we need to. I mean, minimum wage is no longer $7.75, which I think the law says it's $15. It's just plain and simple. You can't hire anybody for under that. No. And then you might not. So we need to, those people at the bottom, our CNAs, our, that would include jailers and all these other staff, your front desk person, you know, those are all going to get a bigger lift because those are the people that we need to make things
happen. And we're not, you know, we're not.
So, that's the biggest discussion. But if we do the short-term borrowing, it's a matter of taking up capital projects and deciding how much. This, according to the numbers that we're using right now, it's about a $1.6 million project. But we have plenty of capital improvement projects to make that We still have the debt capacity to do it, and there's plenty of capacity under that 3.54 mill rate to do it too. So those are the decisions that need to be made. We're having another special executive committee meeting next Tuesday morning to decide that split, to make sure that it is 10, 8, and 6, or what it might be. Joyce, Amanda, and I are supposed to be meeting. I'm hoping it was at 10:30. I think it was going to get moved to 10:30 this morning to deal with that small issue. Small numbers issue. It's not really a small issue. They're critical people too. So that's where we're at with the budget. The budget is balanced. And going forward.
September is our end of year for all of our Title III money, aging money. So we have to have all the data in and write and run the reports. And without our front desk person who enters a great deal of that nutrition data, we are short there. So Lori is entering that data, not very quickly. And every time I think I'm going to spend an afternoon entering it, I don't. Something else happens, or I don't have enough time to get it in because I'm not as quick. But I will have that done shortly because it has to be done shortly. So we are going through all of that. Some of the stuff we've already talked about, Eat Smart, DBS attorney. Rob Bell was the keynote speaker. I wasn't able to attend because I was covering the front desk that day, but Courtney and the meal site managers went to a regional managers training conference. That's mandatory for our meal site managers. And Rob was the keynote speaker there on customer service and different things. So staff really enjoyed the training. Rob always does a really good job of that. So that was kind of nice to have him there. Transit team, the coordinated plans have been submitted to DOT. Moving forward, Southwest Regional Planning had mentioned that they no longer were going to facilitate the meetings. So we will be doing, the group will still be meeting at least twice a year, with maybe four times a year. Moving forward, we still have some type of coordination thing going forward, so we will continue that. We were interviewing applicants for our office assistant position. We had set up four interviews before we even got to the interviews. Two of them, half of them dropped out. We did put an offer, which was rejected, so we are back to square one and looking at that again, and what we want to do there. So I do think it, what Bob says is, you know, there's truth there, that it's just our wages. There is much more. I looked through the want ads last week then, just to see what we were competing with, and we are definitely not, you know, up in that. The problem with the office assistant position for us too, as is, it really probably truly is an office assistant position. But what happens as people come in, it's always going to be that position. As people come in and gain some experience with us and get good at it, they're probably going to go, you know, up a lift. But, and that's fine. But we just have to get somebody in the door for that. Because obviously, this is literally, October is our busiest month out of the entire year. And it's a little stressful when we're trying to cover the front. So, but we're covering it. One way or another, right, Courtney?
Yeah.
Part D we're in the mode. We've been getting calls for Medicare open enrollment long before the 15th, but Courtney is doing as much as she can with that through the mail, through getting the information over the phone, running plans for people, not necessarily seeing them in the office. We can do a lot more if we can do it that way versus having people schedule appointments in the office, because they tend to run over and take longer. but we're on a roll there. Sheriff's Department provided de-escalation training for staff. Again, I wasn't able to be there because I was covering, so staff could attend. But you were able to go.
Yes, and it was informative. It was interesting, but it's good knowledge too.
Yeah. Just with the public health and winding and seeing people having more concerns about benefits going away or changing or needing a higher, you know, copay or different things like that. We've seen people a little more on edge, and I don't want to say violent or even aggressive in that manner, but we are seeing people more on edge. And but we occasionally do get that person who's just a little harder to de-escalate. We've had a few lately. So again, that was kind of just a refresher training for our staff to kind of keep in mind how to keep that situation from getting full blown into a problem. And it was nice that the Sheriff's Department had sent some staff to a training on that, and then they came back and facilitated for us. So it was a nice collab with them. Looking, I just was at Southwest Tech. I usually do an intro to their human services class. And then again, the prioritization waiting list thing. So, but mostly we're in Elderfest mode. Everything is Elderfest for the next week. So, and the front desk. but we'll be ready. Any questions on that? And then program reports. We are continuing to be very, very busy. Our program reports are always going to run a little bit behind. Elder benefit and disability benefit specialists run their own numbers, so they can be a little more caught up. But some of our numbers come from other sources, so we have to wait until they are available. But as you can see, August was, again, a very busy month. We've had a fairly busy summer. So right now, again, we're averaging about 38% of the whole four county area. 39% in counter contacts. The difference between total number of contacts under information and assistance is that's kind of the number of calls that they get. The total number of encounter contacts is actually those calls with consumers. So again, larger share of those. Our bus trips have been really successful. We have averaged, I think she's done four, or maybe three, doing the fourth one. I can't remember what she told me now. Yeah. We've done orchard trips. We've averaged 10 people on each of the orchard trips on the bus. So that is really nice. We have definitely seen an increase in the bus trips. I'm really happy. I think, you know, we can commend Dan for, again, getting those trips up. You can see in July and August, we had quite a bit more people. We'll probably see that fall a little bit as it gets a little colder and the weather gets a little nastier. But he's already got people signing up for the bus trips to see the lights in Richmond Center and things like that. So that's really nice. Anything you want to point out on your stuff or nutrition?
This is a full 12 months. The report that I gave out today, because we do end in September, like Lori said, with our funding. So I did just look at our average donation that we were talking about a little bit earlier. And last year it was $2.59. So it has been up. I know it's only $2.89, but and we've served less meals because more people were taken off after the COVID regulations. So
now I should point out that the donation is literally only the donation. It does not include family care.
Correct.
Meal reimbursement. So you would probably, but the numbers are full. So
yes,
if we averaged in
the total revenue is full.
Right? Yeah.
At the bottom.
No, does not have family care.
That is simply
family care.
Or food share benefits. People can use their food share Quest cards.
Oh.
And that is also not
okay.
In here. So that is usually at a suggested donation, not full price.
That might be something we have talked about, that maybe of averaging that back in and seeing if that changes.
So our revenue, we've done 5,991 family care meals.
So if you took that by 1307?
Yes. That would be our family care revenue.
Which would be 78,302.37.
So yes, this revenue is just from
what we're averaging for donations.
For donations.
So.
All right. Any questions on any of that, on any of the programs? Any questions on anything before we are done? Good to see you all.
Okay, I need a, for no one, I need a motion to adjourn in a second.
I'll make a motion.
Put you down as a second.
All those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
Guys, have a good day.
Thank you very much. You guys too.
Are we off?